This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to this special holiday edition of the official Raiders podcast. I'm your host, JT. Raider Nation, happy holidays, Merry Christmas as we get you ready for the Christmas Eve edition of the last Raiders home game of the year against a division rival, the San Diego Chargers, Thursday, December 24th at O.co Coliseum. A lot to get to on this podcast. The Hall of Famer, Willie Brown, will join us. And also from San Diego, Dan Cilio, who has the number one morning sports talk show in all of San Diego. He'll preview the Chargers. Raiders, as you know, coming off that loss last Sunday at home to the Green Bay Packers. 30-20, the final there in a game where, once again, the Raiders were in the lead in this game in the second half. But Aaron Rodgers and the Packers came back to beat the Silver and Black. Raiders dropped to 2-5. Five at home this year, 6-8 overall, but they get an opportunity to finish the season at home before they head out on the road to Kansas City and celebrate the breaking news of Monday night, where the great Charles Woodson announced his retirement effective at the end of the year. So we're stopping everything, and we're going to pay tribute to Charles Woodson because of the retirement after 18 seasons as one of the most decorated defensive players in the history of this league. Charles Woodson, one of only two players, the other Marcus Allen, in the history of football to win the Heisman Trophy, the AP Rookie of the Year, the AP Player of the Year, and a Super Bowl over his career. And it's not over for Charles just yet. It's all but a lock that he goes to another Pro Bowl, and clearly he's playing some of his best football in his 18th season at the end of his career. It wasn't a shocking announcement, but I want to play a little bit of Charles Woodson talking to the media this past Monday night.
2015 is going to be my last season. I've had an incredible career, man. Goes beyond words. You know, I never intended on playing as long as I have. There you have it, man. I'm very grateful that I was able to come back here and play for a second time around. You know, it was a lot of fun. You know, we didn't get a chance to accomplish what we would have liked to this year, you know, as a team. But nevertheless, you know, I had a great deal of fun playing and still got a couple games left, you know, to still go out and do what I've been doing all of my life.
So I would like everybody to go to Raiders.com. Everybody go to social media on Twitter at Raiders or on the Facebook page of the Raiders and send a message to Charles Woodson. Thank him for everything he's done for the organization, his Hall of Fame career, his career as a Raider, and just everything that Charles has been about his entire life, the ultimate Raider. It's great to see also on social media every prominent player in this league in the last 48 hours has sent out a message to Charles Woodson. Talk about respect, being liked, and having the respect of the NFL along with every franchise and all the players. It's truly been a magical career. And for those of us who've gotten to know Charles over the years, his teammates, his former teammates, those in the media who have covered his career, and you, the fans, who have met Charles, maybe got an autograph, saw him at some point throughout your life, this is something to celebrate. I'll tell you, I'm honored to say I know Charles Woodson. I've covered his entire career. And I'll tell you, the next chapter of his life is going to be even better. He is a legend on and off the field. Let's get to our guests. Our first guest today on the official Raiders podcast, great friend, great radio host, one of the best radio hosts in America, Dan Cilio joins us from San Diego, but he played in the NFL. He played at the U. He's the morning show host on the mighty 1090 in San Diego, and he got his start right around when I did before me on KNBR, and he moved over to the Ticket 1050 on the original launch of the Raider flagship station back in the day. Dan, thanks for joining us. How are you, my friend?
Always part of the Brick family. You got me, man. I'm always part of that family. Thanks for having me, JT.
Dan, we go back, and when we met for the first time, and when the Raiders both gave us a big opportunity, Al Davis both gave us big opportunities back in the day. Take us back to those early years when you're in the Bay Area, the Silver and Black, the Raiders are winning, and there's a buzz all over the East Bay and in San Francisco talking Raider football around the clock.
Let me tell you this, JT. Al Davis is a maverick. I used to have 2 to 3 hour conversations every day when it came to Raider football. We talk football. We talk what the Raiders were all about, the silver and black. And I remember when John Gruden was being interviewed, I'm sitting in there, the first guy to interview Gruden when he gets the job. I think he was 32 years of age. And I asked Al, why did you hire this guy? He goes, I hired his passion. I said, Al, the only other guy you've ever hired at that age was John Madden. He goes, right, passion I hired. And that's what the Raiders were built on. The Raiders were built on Al's passion, his desire, and his love. And I'm telling you, JT, that resonated everywhere. This week we had Bambi on, Lance Allworth. When you have that kind of when you have that kind of aura around the league, and Lance Allworth has Al Davis, a Raider, the owner of the Raiders, inducting you into the Hall of Fame, he goes beyond just being the silver and black. Al Davis represents what the NFL is all about.
Dan Cilio joins us. Dan, let's get into the matchup with the Raiders and the Chargers. Raiders coming off a loss. Again, another Raider game where they had the lead at home. They gave Green Bay with one pick six and an interception down to the goal line, a 14-0 lead. The Raiders made adjustments, came back, had the lead, and lost to the great Aaron Rodgers. San Diego coming off the win. The Raiders already won down in San Diego this year and played their best three quarters of the year without a doubt and really buried the Chargers in that game. San Diego came back and made it a game in the fourth quarter. Both these teams not going to the playoffs this year. From a Chargers perspective, who is to blame for this? Is it injuries? Is it coaching? Or just the fact that this team got steamrolled in a portion of their season where they couldn't turn it around after that?
Brick, here's what I looked at this year. It's like you have a first-year head coach in Mike McCoy. You have a first-year personnel guy and John Spanos, and you have a first-time general manager in Tom Telesco. I mean, it's like three kids playing in a treehouse. I mean, every one of these guys want to play football, and it's the incompetence of all of it. I mean, the personnel that they have on the field is not and was overvalued. The only guy that they really have worth value, in my opinion, is Rivers. Think of this number here. Phillip Rivers, in 10-plus years and 161 games started, has been sacked 348 times in his career. And you could sit there and tell me that you bring in this guy, you bring in that guy. At the end of the day, they have never protected 17. They have never put people around him. And when you go out and draft a guy like Melvin Gordon and you try to tell people you're going to be a tough guy, hey, Brick, this is the toughest team, the Chargers, I've ever seen Monday through Friday. But when Sunday comes, they're hiding under the coach's desk. These guys, Von Miller had, from the Broncos, had Phillip Rivers in a death grip around his neck. Not one old lineman stood up and came to his defense. They don't play tough. They're a finesse team. And Gordon, this guy's been a Rick, it's 15 weeks in the NFL. He doesn't have a touchdown. That's a first-round pick. You look at Gurley with the Rams. That dude is going out for 1,200 yards. It's been an absolute colossal failure in draft picks. I think Barrett is talented, but he doesn't stay on the field. I think King Dunlap is a good player, but first rounder. And Manti Te'o, this guy chases more than anybody I've ever seen. He's undersized. He can't play. He's slow. Donald Butler, the extension they gave him, this guy fell back on his fat-ass wallet and guess what? Decided to say, hey, I'm getting paid. There's so few guys on this football team. There's never been a sense of urgency. And I told you this before, Brick. I played for Jimmy Johnson. You ran to get water. You ran to water breaks with a sense of urgency and championship tempo. That's the difference between the Patriots and every other team. They have a championship tempo at every single thing they do.
We're wrapping it up with Dan Cilio. Dan, what are the Chargers playing for? It's a rivalry. You know, the Carr-Rivers rivalry. I remember when Rivers signed his extension, I tweeted out to Raider fans, I go, you're going to have to face this guy Rivers for another five seasons. That's 10 games total with the extension. And, you know, Rivers is a hell of a player. Carr is young. He's making mistakes at home in Oakland. He's playing better on the road. But I think this is a great rivalry long term. And Rivers lately hasn't owned the Raiders in this rivalry. And Carr is an exceptional young quarterback who's making mistakes. But I tell everybody, it's not easy beating Phillip Rivers. This guy's a future Hall of Famer. What about the pride of the Chargers coming into this game and hoping they don't get swept for the season series by the Raiders? Because you know the Raiders need something to hang their hat on heading into the offseason.
I'll tell you this, Brick. I love the direction that the Raiders are going in, man. I see Branch and Stabler again all over here with Cooper and with Carr. Khalil Mack is a sack master. The direction that Jack Del Rio, former teammate of mine, has that football team on, it seems to be a direction. There's a game plan. McKenzie's starting to make good moves there in the general manager's office. You're going out, you bring in a guy like Crabtree. You're starting to put pieces around your draft choices. I like the direction of the Raiders. And for the Chargers, for me, hey, man, run through the tape. Be a damn pro. Finish it up, man. You got 8 quarters of football left. I mean, when I hear people say the U-Haul fans, and that's what I'm dubbing this game, people want to say, well, these two teams potentially could be moving to Carson or what have you, the U-Haul Bowl. I'm sitting there, look, you run through the tape. There's 8 quarters of football left. You get paid on Tuesday a paycheck. Play like a pro. Jesse James used a gun when he robbed banks. Don't be that guy. Run through the tape. Finish the task.
Fabulous. I knew we had to get you on this year on the Official Raiders Podcast. Great preview of this game. Dan, I'll see you in the offseason. You're a great friend. Thanks so much for doing this.
Anytime for you, Brick.
Timing for this week's Official Raiders Podcast was really important because the game on Thursday, the holidays, but then all of a sudden everyone in the Raider Nation was floored with the retirement of the great Charles Woodson. If there was one person within the organization I could bring on to talk about this and the season, it's the Hall of Famer, Willie Brown. Willie, happy holidays, Merry Christmas. Thanks for joining us on the podcast. How are you?
I'm good, JT. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
This is huge news. First off, I want to ask you, did you see this coming? I know you're around Charles a lot. Were you surprised by this, or was this expected that he would retire this year?
No, I kind of expected. You know, early in the season, he kind of indicated that he probably will be his last year. So I was kind of looking towards that way also because I said, well, okay, I think maybe he want to play another year, I'm not sure. So finally yesterday he and I had a private conversation about it, and he felt this is his time to do it.
Well, Willie, that private conversation's between you and him, but it seems like Charles was really thinking heavy about this over the last couple of weeks. You've been there before with your great Hall of Fame career. What's it like as a player when you're at the end and you know you could probably play a little bit longer, but the time is right to step aside?
Well, you know, you really think about it heavily, and you think about your family, you know, missing them, not being able to spend a lot of time with them. You're always away from home quite a bit. And so you look at it and say, well, you know, maybe this is it. And I'm not sure. But once a player make up his mind and say, it is time, believe me, it is time, because that's running through his head about should I, shouldn't I. But once you make that statement saying that maybe another year, I'm not sure, then finally you say, no, I'm done, then you are done. Same thing happened to me, when I was going to my last year. I was going for my 17th year, and I wrecked my knee. So I told Mr. Davis, I said, you know what? I think it's time for me to get out of this game. So he said, no, wait a minute. Go ahead, go check your knee out. So my knee had an operation. I said, you know what? I am done. I'm not going through this anymore, and I didn't need to, you know, because my career had been good, and then, so why go another year when you're going out the way you're going out?
Willie, I think that's a really good point. You had the peace of mind to know you had a great championship career and all of your accomplishments, and I really think we can tie that into Charles with his Super Bowl ring in Green Bay to come full circle, to come back with the Raiders, and talk about the performances of him this year with these 8 takeaways, the fumble recoveries, the interceptions. He's playing at such a high level.
Well, no question about it. He's playing. He really played better this year than he did last year.
Yeah.
I mean, he really, you know, stood out and always making plays. Every time my ball is in the air, I'm thinking, Charles will get it here, get it here, get it, you know, that kind of thing. But he, you know, he had a good career and playing, you know, 18 years, that's a long time. And I played 16 years, but mine was all that corner, and here's that corner and safety. So, Charles, you know, he got 2 boys, and I love those two boys to death. So, he needs to spend time with his wife and his family and, you know, do the things that he want to do and haven't been able to do because of sports. You know, sports take you away from your family quite a bit. And, you know, that's part of the game. If you want to play it, that's part of it.
Willie Brown joins us on the Official Raiders podcast. You know, Willie, can you just talk a little bit about the change from cornerback to safety and why it's so difficult and how he was able to excel at that?
Well, you know, when you play corner, you know, you're out there by yourself. Well, particularly when I play, you know, you're out there by yourself on man-to-man. You count on your safety being in the middle. But it's a tough thing to do, but it's easier in terms of playing the safety than it is the corner because you got pressure on you every play. And as a safety, you sit back there and you just read the quarterback and you read formation, what they're trying to do. And, you know, then you the go-to guy. You the guy that's supposed to make those kind of plays, anything inside, anything deep. So Charles had that ability because of me. I no way that I want to play safety. Too much hitting going on in there.
Well, you played with Tatum, so and when you look at Atkinson and all the great safeties that you played with throughout your career, you played with some of the hardest hitting safeties, and that was great about Charles too. He wasn't a finesse guy. He could really get his helmet in there and make big tackles.
Yeah, you know, the thing about Charles is amazing when I see him make some of those kind of tackles because he's able to slip, and the next thing you know, he's under the legs and, you know, going from one leg, and he got the guy down. And he just had a knack of where to hit him and how to get him down better than anybody I've ever seen. I never seen a safety that had the quickness and the ability to make so many easy-looking tackles when it's not easy. But Charles used his body a lot, but he had that quickness to slip a block, and next thing you know, he got the guy down. And that's the big difference about him is that he was able to do that as a safety. And me? No, I didn't want no part of going up in there.
Hall of Famer Willie Brown joins us. Willie, I have the pleasure of sitting with you at many of the games here and watching this last game where the Raiders once again were out of the gate slow. They're down 14-0 on those two interceptions against Carr, but then they come back and take the lead in this game before losing 30-20. Willie, if you can kind of sum up the season so far going in to the Thursday night game, because the Raiders, even in the losses, and they're 2-5 at home, were in games where they took the lead, and most of the media says they're right there. The only problem is they haven't been able to finish. How difficult is it to finish with a young team?
Well, it really is. It's tough because everybody got to stay focused, and you enjoy the success of plays and things like that after the game. And like when I played with Tatum and Atkinson, Upshaw, Stake, Lindekoff, we didn't do any celebration because we knew that, hey, the game is not over till it's over. The last gun goes off, and that's when it's over. So we always stayed focused, particularly the second half, because we knew we had a better team than whoever we played anyway, but we stayed focused and we didn't do all that celebrating because, and that's the thing with us, we come up, we pressure them now, we take a lead, and next thing you know, somebody, you know, not in the right spot, not the right call, or the missed call, and missed this, missed that, so it's tough, but, you know, particularly when you're young, I haven't been in a certain situation like this before. I mean, we had a good run. I thought for sure that we probably would be in the playoffs this year. And unfortunately, we had some things happen. We got some injured players, and we didn't execute some of the plays that we should have. And that made it tough on us. But I can see that I can see the light at the end of the tunnel because the way the guys play, they played hard. But we did not play hard enough to win the game. And that's the thing. We got to finish the game all the way out and not just play, you know, half of this game at first quarter, second quarter. You know, you got to play it throughout the whole game. And with 60 minutes on the clock, you got to go 60 minutes. And if not, now then the next thing you have to do is come up with the play. If your big-time starters and your big-time playmakers and your key guys are on offense or defense, those are the guys you look at to make a play. It's up to them to make the play. If they don't make the play, you're in trouble. So that's why you're a captain. That's why you are making it all pro. That's why you make it all rookie or whatever. Mm-hmm. The fans and me and everybody else thinking that, hey, you got to make a play in order for us to win. That's the way I look at it. Right. When we got behind a team and, you know, doing this and that to us, it was my responsibility as a captain, and my responsibility as a player is to get out there and make a play so we can win the ball game. Somebody you count on doing practice, you see things happening, and we expect you to do those things when it comes game time, particularly when we need to play out of you, whether kicking a field goal, or running a punt back, whatever. You are the guy, and you are the guy that's going to help us win.
Wrapping it up with Willie Brown. Willie, it's too early to speculate about next year, but when you look at the secondary, obviously now another big hole, Charles Woodson retiring, but with the play of DJ Hayden, TJ Carey, Amerson, who stepped up this year, two things I want to ask you about. First, I want to talk about technique. Often the media says, and people will say around football, that a player in the bump and run, or he gives a player too much space, or he doesn't turn on the ball. There's a lot of good coaches, from Ken Norton Jr., Jack Del Rio, the head coach, obviously Rod Woodson, defensive backs. When you got players who have athletic ability, like DJ Hayden, how do you quickly teach him to become a better technique guy for next year, or whoever you bring in next year, teach him how to turn on the football better?
Well, you teach him with the mentality that you are better than him. He cannot beat you. Your mindset got to be that, hey, there's no way he's going to catch a ball on me. You got to go through things like that. And I'm sure that one of the biggest problems is this, JT, is that you can't spend time with the player like you used to spend time. It used to be when I had a couple of rookies, a couple of young guys, even a couple of old guys, we would stay after practice and work on things like that, the techniques, the fundamentals, making sure you have the correct steps when you're making a break here and there. And nowadays, you don't have time to do that because, you know, the rules and things like that, being on the field, being after practice, they just won't let you do it. But some way, we would find a way to work with those young players that we have in the secondary this year because they need it, and I'm willing to give my time and much of the time that I can with them and get this thing turned around, and hopefully they respond. And I'm sure we will be better back there again this year because the players that we have, they're young, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we won't have Charles back there to kind of guide him and help him, but we, you know, Rod Woodson is back there. And Marcus is back there, so in my hip, so they should be better, and hopefully that they work at those weaknesses that they have during the off season.
Finally, Willie, the holiday season, Christmas Eve, a football game in Oakland. We talked about Charles Woodson at length here. For your whole adult life, you played in meaningful games around the holiday season, into the new year, the postseason, all your success. What does the holidays mean to you? Because you got a great family. Your family is also the Raiders, also the Raider Nation, and the fans. So what's it like to be an ambassador for the Raiders during the holiday season?
Well, it's fun time, you know, for me. I'm enjoying it because I get to do pretty much what I want to do and how I want to do it. We have like 100 kids coming in here to the facility tonight and have a bicycle program that we're doing with them. So I try to stay involved when something's going on in the community, some function going on, and I go and represent Mark Davis and Mrs. Davis and the whole organization from that standpoint. Is to show that we are involved in the community, want to be involved in the community, you know, all this time. So, but it's a lot of fun, JT, you know, because I used to get in the office around 7 o'clock and leave about 8 or 9 o'clock at night. So they give me a lot of time to do some things I want to do and see what's going on in the community. And hopefully, you know, that the Raiders have always helped, you know, in the community doing certain things. But I have enough to keep me busy for sure.
That is for sure. We're lucky to have you, Willie, especially with the breaking news on Charles before the game on Thursday night. Thanks so much for making time and joining us on the official Raiders podcast. It means a lot to the entire Raider Nation. Happy holidays.
Same to you, JT. Anytime, man. Just let me know and go Raiders.
Thanks for joining us on this holiday edition of the official Raiders podcast. For everyone at Silver and Black Productions, have a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and we'll see you back in the new year. Go Raiders.
Thanks for listening to this installment of the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.